This is an oral history interview between Opal Burford and the Union County History Project. The date is May 3rd, 2005. Would you tell us your full name and birth date, please?
I'm Opal Irene Von Hart, born March 25th, 1919.
Where were you born?
Creston, Washington.
Were you born at home?
Yes. Then the doctors came to your home. My dad had to go in with the buggy and bring the doctor out to our home.
And you were delivered there?
I was delivered there.
Will you tell us who your father was?
My father was Ray Barnhart. He was born in Minnesota.
And how about your mother?
Mary...
Okay.
Minnie Simons.
Did she have a middle name?
May.
Okay. And what brought your parents to Union?
My dad, his grandmother, or my grandmother and my uncle had a farm together. And Dad realized it wouldn't support the three families, so after he had a family, he decided he'd better get out and find something different. So we moved to Grandview, Washington, stayed there about a year because the climate wasn't suitable for my mother, and then mother and he went on a hunting trip, you might say, to find another place, and they came through Union County, and they liked the mountains and knew there was fishing available, and they came here.
That would be about 1929, I think we discussed?
Yes.
That you came to Union. What did your father do when he got here?
He worked out for farmers. He worked for in the orchards. They had an acreage. They raised fruit and vegetables and sold to stores, and they had a business, you might say, of people that came to buy produce from them.
You had said that your father did some trapping during the winter?
Yes, during the winter he trapped for muskrat, weasels, mink, coyote.
Okay. What did your mother do? Did she...
She helped on the place out there, and she worked in the orchards with him, picking apples, prunes, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Now, you told me that your parents lived out their life here in Union County.
Yes.
Your parents did. Tell me about going to school. You said that you went to South School. Now, you transferred because you'd been going to school before.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about South School.
Well, I started school here when I was in the fifth grade after we moved here, and went through the seventh grade at the South School, and then we went over to the high school, the present high school, beginning eighth grade.
And you went to high school there?
Yes.
So you finished all of your schooling here in Union?
Mm, right.
And I have a note that you graduated in 1937.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still attend high school reunions or gatherings of your classes?
Well, I was one of the beginning ones that started that. There were several of us went together, and at first we just had a few people come, and it just kept growing and growing and growing.
Do you mean that they weren't having reunions before you got started with your group, or?
No, there was about four of us decided it would be a good idea, and we told a few people about it, and it's progressed to quite a thing now.
When do you have that? Is it a yearly event?
It's a yearly event.
In the summer?
Memorial Day.
Memorial Day. Tell me about going to school at Union High. Did you have a lot of friends? Did you have to walk to school?
I had to walk to school.
Was that a far walk?
Well, it was. We lived about a half mile out of town and half mile in, and then if there was something you went to in the evening, well, here you'd walk in again, and we didn't have school buses then.
So you would walk back into town again rather than just stay in town.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. How was that walk? Was it difficult? Was it on the regular road?
Sometimes in the winter time it was difficult, but it was something you did.
Would you walk with a regular group? Did you walk with friends or relatives? Or?
No, there was not many kids out there that went to school. There wasn't many kids around.
In that particular area?
In that area.
I see. How about Union High? Was it different then than it is now? Were there things you particularly enjoyed about it, going to school here?
Well, you didn't worry about the drugs and drinking and all. Anyone that drank or smoked, it just wasn't approved of.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's a lot different now than it was then, I'm sure.
Did you take any particular classes or things that you really enjoyed or activities at school while you were in school?
Well, they had things then that they don't now, like home economics, they called it, for the girls. You learn housekeeping, cooking, sewing, and so on. And one thing that I took was what they called manual training. It was wood shop work. And most girls didn't take that, but I found that quite interesting.
Were you teased about that?
No.
No?
No.
What sort of things did you learn in that class?
Well, we learned how to saw and hammer and measure, and I made several little projects, corner shelves, stools, chests. And I learned how to hammer a nail, which some don't know how to do.
Some boys don't know how to do that either.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find those skills helpful to you in life then, afterwards?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I still think they should have homemaking for the girls.
What kinds of things did you learn there that you wouldn't necessarily have learned on your own?
How to sew.
Was there quite a bit of that?
Oh, yes.
Did they show you how to do that, like, from beginning to the end
mm-hmm.
of a project?
Cut out things from patterns, and there's some of the girls now that don't know how to sew up a rip in clothing or sew on a button.
Could be very helpful to them. What... anything else stand out? Did you play any sports, or were you in any activities, or?
Well, we all
clubs?
had to take gym class and get exercise, and that made you play basketball or whatever.
But did you play on a team?
No, I didn't play on a team.
How about any clubs? Were you involved in any clubs or? other activities of the school that you enjoyed?
Well, there wasn't that many clubs to be available then.
So you graduated in 1937. Now, what happened then, after you got out of school?
Well, I guess looking forward to being married in September.
Now, you told me that you had met your husband in high school, but he was already out, is that right?
He had graduated the year before.
Is that the year before you graduated?
No, the year before I started high school.
I see. And so, is that the only boyfriend you have then, Drew?
Well,
go ahead. So, now his name was Alvin Burford?
Alvin Burford.
And he was pretty much the one then, huh?
He was pretty much the one.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me about going with Alvin Burford then. Was that unusual to date somebody who was either that much older or that far ahead of you in that time?
I suppose it was. I imagine we were the talk of the school, but
Your parents didn't object, or?
Not after they got to know him, no.
Uh-huh. Now, where did he live when you were going together?
He lived with an aunt and uncle in High Valley.
And how far is that from Union? That's
oh,
out of town,
probably
isn't it?
7 miles anyway.
Mm-hmm. Was he able to drive to come see you?
After a time, he got a Model A Ford coupe, and he drove down, but before that, he would walk down over the hills to see me, and it must have been pretty miserable for him sometime, because in the wintertime, it could be cold and snowy and all, but he did it.
How often would he do this? Once a week?
Probably once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if the weather was real bad, it would be a little longer, but
what other ways would you get to see him during this time before he got the car if he didn't walk in? Were there other opportunities to see him?
Not unless he rode to town with somebody.
I see. So you went together for 4 years. What kinds of, when he got that Model T, what sort of
Model
things?
A.
Model A, excuse me. When he got his Model A, then what would you do together?
Oh, we'd go for rides, go on picnics, go to the Roxy Theater, the show house here in town.
Is that what it was called in Union?
Roxy, Just a typical boy-girl things, I get. Well, not the way they are anymore, but
sure. Then you decided to get married after you graduated from high school.
Mm-hmm.
When did you marry him?
On September 19th, 1939.
I have a note that says 37 here. Did you graduate in
1937? 1937,
uh-huh.
Excuse me.
That's fine. And what happened after you got married? Where did you first live?
We lived in a little house by the, what was then Hess's Sawmill.
And that's here in town.
Here in town. He worked for the sawmill. And then our son was born while we lived there, so he was born in 39.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alvin's father had surgery, and he couldn't farm the place that he lived on in High Valley, And so we decided to move up there to help him out. And we rented a farm about a mile from where he lived. But he lived with us then for a while.
Now, did you say his father got better and went back to work on his own?
Mm-hmm.
And then, what did you do? What things did you do on this farm? What were you involved in up there?
Well, we had to raise some grain, had pasture land, but that was about it. We farmed two places then. And typical farm work.
So those were the main activities of this farm that you were...
We acquired some cattle and raised pigs.
So you did have livestock?
Oh, yeah.
As well as grain farming. Was it wheat that you farmed out there?
Wheat and barley, yeah.
What happened next? You had said you'd been out there for a while, and then what happened that brought you back to town?
Well, he was drafted or got a call to report for draft to the service, and we sold off what livestock we had and prepared for that, and then he got word that he didn't have to go.
Now that was after you basically sold or released off the farm and came back to town, and
right.
After all of that, how long do you, was that a hurried venture? Did you have to dispose of what you were doing out there in like a matter of a couple of weeks? Or?
Oh no, no, it was longer than that.
Was it?
But we found a place to live here in town then, and because the owner of the place had already leased it to somebody else.
So where did that take Alvin next? Where did he went to work after that?
He worked for his uncle doing farm work for a while, and then he started working for the Union Flouring Mill, and he worked there for years.
Now you were, I think you told me that you were renting for a short time then when you came back to town.
We rented about a year, and neither one of us liked to rent. We would rather put that money into owning something, so we cashed in what bonds we had and put money down on the place that I'm in yet.
Now you said that was a very, very expensive house for that.
No, it wasn't.
How much was your house?
We paid $25 a month.
So that doesn't sound like a 30-year mortgage then.
No, it wasn't a 30-year mortgage.
Uh-huh.
Then private parties bought your contract and you paid the money to them.
Until it was paid off.
Until it was paid off.
So this was before the way they do mortgage sales then, as they do them now. Mm. And you've been here you've been here ever since?
I've been here ever since. Mm-hmm. We've done quite a bit of remodeling and the house doesn't look like it used to.
Now, does this property encompass this entire block here?
No, we're just a half block.
I see. Because Mamie had told me, I think, that her house took the entire block at first when they got it. And so I see that a number of these houses look like they were on that same sort of scheme. You tell me, you never were employed, you never worked on your own out of the house, and that's not to say that homemaking wasn't important or anything like that, but...
No, Alvin didn't want me to to work anyplace else.
And so you always worked at home or took
yep.
care of the home at that. How long did Alvin work with the flour mill? I mean, was that his, basically, that was his main job that he finished
his,
out his career with
mm-hmm.
on that? I think you said he did some contract mail work as well. No? Sorry, I got my note wrong. Let's go back and talk about some general things. Now, your husband's been gone for a while and all, but I want to go back and just cover some main areas that we had discussed about together. When you first came to Union, we know it was the Depression, and you must have felt some of those hardships. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, my father worked out for, I don't recall what he was paid, how much an hour, when he did tree pruning and fruit picking and all that. But I remember he worked for a farmer out here, worked probably 18 hours a day for $30 a month.
That was the going wage or going salary
yeah.
for the time. Did you have any particularly, were the struggles tough?
Until the folks got started with chickens and hogs, and they've always raised their own beef. They got calves and raised their own meat. And we always had plenty to eat other than perhaps the first year or so we were here. Things must have been pretty tough for them.
I have a note here that said you ate a lot of pork and beans.
Pork and beans in the can. I still don't care for pork and beans.
Is that right? So your parents were really kind of getting back on their feet, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
and that didn't make it any easier with the... let's talk about living on High Valley. You were telling me when you first moved out there, this house had no electricity. Or running water?
No, there was no electricity or running water. We had a well up above the house, and we had to pack water from the well.
Tell me about this. You said that you had hauled water to a boiler. What's a boiler?
Well, that was the metal boiler that you set on the stove to heat your water in to wash clothes.
Okay, so it wasn't another device.
Oh, no.
House.
No.
Okay. And you did washboard laundry out there?
Oh, yes.
What was that? How did that work?
You don't know what a washboard looks like?
I know what it looks like, but...
I heated water on the stove and rubbed clothes clean on the washboard. I am hoarse. And when it came then, all your clothes had to be ironed, and you heated your irons on the wood stove. And
so you cooked and did your housework using this wood stove oven that was in the house.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And you ironed off of that. Did you have an ice box, or I take it no refrigerator then, if there
no
was no
refrigerator.
Electricity?
Mm-hmm. And finally someone gave us an ice box, and that was very nice. Otherwise we had a little pantry, they called it, the cool room, where we set milk and kept
other perishable?
Yeah, and I had a cellar, a stone above ground cellar.
Was that as cold as the cold storage?
Oh, no.
Could that be colder?
No, the cellar wasn't as cold as cold storage, but then it was cooler.
So what kinds of things did you store in there?
Well, I canned a lot of stuff, fruit and vegetables, and then we kept our potatoes, and we could keep carrots and squash and cabbage and all for quite some time in the cellar.
Now, did you say this was an above-ground cellar?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Does that means it wasn't built into the house?
Well, a lot of the cellars then were built down in the ground. And
is that what you meant, this above?
Well, this was just a stone cellar, like another building.
But it didn't go underground?
No, it didn't go underground.
See. Okay, I'm understanding now. How did you have ice for this ice box? How did you acquire ice to make that work?
We would get ice when we came to town and have your block of ice that put in your ice box. And that was...
Could that last until the next trip to town? Or?
Usually not, no.
Then what? When the ice ran out? That was that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You've talked about churning your own butter. Did you do that out there?
Oh, yes.
How does that work?
Well, you milk your cow and separate.
Right.
We had a what they call a milk separator that put your cream and one side, your milk in the other, and churn that cream.
Did you have to add anything to the churning device to make it turn into butter, or you just simply have to churn it?
Churn it and add a little salt.
That was it?
That was it.
How about, you've talked about canning food, and that you had routinely done this over the years. Anything, did you can meat as well?
Canned meat, yes.
Was that any different from any other type of canning that you did?
Well,
other than, of course, it was a different product, but...
You cooked your meat as if you were going to eat it and put it in your jars with your hot grease and processed it then.
So these items were pre-cooked?
Oh, yeah.
Before they went into, that way you...
The meat was.
Mm-hmm.
We had lockers then down at the meat market that we used too.
Would that have been here in Union?
Mm-hmm.
Did they have a meat locker here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about some things that, a couple of items we don't see here anymore. You had talked about there used to be a bowling alley here in town?
No, I don't think there was a bowling alley. There was a skating rink.
Oh. Did you ever go to it? Did you know?
I didn't, no.
How about the bus station? Was there a Greyhound station here?
I think it stopped at what was then Shank's Cafe, where the hut is now.
Anything else in town that isn't here today?
Oh, yes. Yes, there was a shoe shop, dry cleaners. Of course, when I was in school, there was a telephone office where all your car calls, you had to call in there, and she would punch you in to where you wanted to call.
Is that right? Did you have that? Did you? Was this? Were these crank phones then?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have one of those out at High Valley?
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. And was that a party line?
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you were careful what you said. Somebody might be rubbering, they called it.
What's that mean? Listening in?
Listening in.
Uh-huh. How did that affect your conversation with you?
You were careful.
Did you talk in code or?
Oh, no.
Just
no,
talk
no.
As
we,
quick
we
as you could?
Didn't worry about it. Only sometimes you would know somebody was listening. You could tell by the sound on the phone.
You could just tell from that mm-hmm. that somebody else was on the line. Did people really care about that, apparently?
I don't think it was too much, no. I don't think it worried very many people.
Did that make news travel faster through your
community? Probably.
Uh-huh. Now, you would call in on this phone to the central place in town, and they would place the call where you were going to be making that call to. Did you get electricity or running water out in High Valley before you ended
Never
up moving to town?
Never had running water, but they did have electricity. They put in electricity
We're continuing the interview with Opal Burford on May 3rd, 2005. So you were telling us that they never got the water plumbed, but they did get electricity out there before you came to town.
They had a well all the time, but they did get electricity.
So I take it that means that bathrooms were outdoors. Was it outhouse?
Bathrooms were outdoors, oh yes.
Mm-hmm. How about bathing? How did that happen?
The galvanized wash tub. Heated water on the stove and washed in the wash tub.
By then, did you have all of your children? Were they all three of them born by then before you?
No, two of them.
Let's talk a little bit about, well, before we go anywhere else, I want to cover your perspective on the communal threshing crews that came through. And my understanding is that this was a communal effort.
Well, it was the High Valley people got together.
Your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
In the,
my neighbors.
And
helped each other.
Do the threshing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have appointments for that? Did they work? Did they start on the north end and work their way south?
Whose ever crop was ready first? They would go to that place and then proceed.
From there.
Mm-hmm.
So they get to your place now. And we do have good detail from another interview on what threshing is and how that sort of took place. How would you be involved in this operation when it came time for them to come and thresh your crop?
Well, all the men would eat at your place, and you'd have to prepare meals. I always, we had our own chickens, so I would have to clean chickens and fry chickens, and the neighbor lady helped me. I had the two little kids, and she came up. I remember we made angel food cake in a big, what they call a dish pan.
Mm-hmm.
And
was that so you could make a bigger one
mm-hmm.
for the size of the group that
it
you were
would
with?
About fill the oven with the pan and cake. But
How long would the threshing crew be on your property?
Oh, you'd probably have to prepare two or three meals.
By meals, you mean one meal a day or three meals a day?
Well, one meal and maybe breakfast and dinner another day.
So they'd be there maybe 2-3 days top.
2 days.
2 days.
At least.
Mm-hmm. So was there a lot of other preparation for that as that time came around every year?
Well, you just knew you were going to have to cook a lot of food.
But
and that's something we always wanted to have an abundance of food.
So,
No.
So, really, this part that you played in it was being played out on other ranches and homesteads in your
same
area
thing.
All over. So, your neighbor would come and help you. Was there more than one neighbor that would come and help you?
No.
No.
Just the one lady.
Then you would end up at her place next and help them?
No.
No. Did you, were you aware of how the operation worked? Let's skip that. Now, tell me about learning to drive. You said that Alvin had a Model A and that he taught you to drive. Can you tell me about that? Where would you learn? How did it work?
On good old country roads. And that was a stick shift, which I would hate to drive anymore. But I don't think it took me long to learn to drive.
Now, this Model A, is that beyond the crank?
Oh, yeah.
The crank start. So no. Electronic or electric ignition by then.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to take a driving test at that time to get a license?
You got me, I don't remember.
Okay. But you learned how to drive out on the country roads.
Mm-hmm.
And was it a trial and error thing? Any adventures to tell on that?
Nothing spectacular at all, I don't think.
In other words, you picked it up pretty good.
Pretty good.
Uh-huh. Well, let's talk about World War II then for a little bit and your experiences. You've shown me a ration book that you have here. Tell me how rationing worked. How did that work for you? You've got a complete book for your whole family, it looks like, in here.
Well, we had to have ration stamps for gas, for shoes, for flour, sugar, most things.
Now, if I understand this right, every member of the household had to have a ration card.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have ration cards for children as young as, it looks like, just toddlers there during the wartime. But, so, say you went to buy items like sugar. Did you pull sugar stamps from your book as well as the children's to get it?
I think so, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And what would you do if you ran out?
You just would do without.
Did you do any trading or anything like that?
I don't
others?
Recall.
Uh-huh.
Some people may have, but I don't think we did.
Now, did you tell me that you were, I might be wrong, I might, you know, I'm starting to confuse things with your neighbor, Mamie, across the street, but were you set up already with your canning and the like when the war got started, or did you tell me you were short of sugar?
Well, sometimes that's what you worried about more, was running short of sugar in canning. But I don't think we ever hurt too badly about it.
Did you have a garden? Did you have this victory garden, or were you gardening?
No, not in High Valley. Mm-hmm. Most of our garden stuff we got from my parents, as they had an acreage and they raised all sorts of garden stuff.
So you didn't need to do that?
Well, we didn't have the water to irrigate a garden up there.
I see. So this was, the war was before you came down? Actually, the war was going on after you came down, too.
No, the war was going on while we were in High Valley.
Okay. But if you moved back to town so your husband could go, and then he didn't have to go, was the war over?
I think shortly after we moved to town, yes.
I see.
Because I don't recall having, in High Valley, we had to be sure we didn't have a light showing after dark.
Let's talk about that blackout. This is called, these were the blackout rules that took place. And what did that mean? What were you supposed to do?
Well, just after night, after dark, you didn't have a light showing any place. You had blinds that you pulled if you had a light on in the house. And then they had people to watch for any plane, or if they heard any plane, they had to report it.
Did you have plane spotters in this area?
Oh, yes.
Did you know any of them?
I think in High Valley, Alvin's aunt was a plane spotter.
We've been given to understand that a lot of women perform this duty of plane spotting out there. Did you ever hear of a plane that got spotted that caused any problems?
I don't recall that we did, no.
Now, the blackout regulations, did people enforce this? I'm sure that people wanted to cooperate.
I don't think there was much problem about it being enforced. People just realized that's something they had to do.
Did that mean that people could not drive after dark?
That I don't recall.
Okay.
I don't suppose they could.
Or without some special precaution. Did you ever have to stand in line for anything? Were there any things that you really...
I don't think so. Not here. I don't recall having to stand in line for anything.
Did you or others do anything special on behalf of the war effort? Did you get involved in any sort of activities with either alone or with other people to help out?
No, we were up there rather isolated from town, and no, it wasn't.
Let's go back to the farm just a little bit and pick up some additional things here. You talked about you did have neighbors that you would socialize with, but it wasn't formal?
No, you stopped to see somebody and visited a little while, and maybe somebody would come to see you, but it wasn't a call and come over thing. You just went to visit.
So very informal. Were you churchgoers? Did you attend church out? Did you have to attend church out there?
There wasn't a church up there, no.
I know that some Legion or Grange programs had some things like that, but yours didn't. Was your husband or you a member of the Grange?
No.
Okay. Let's talk talk about some other things that, now, you said that you got to move up a notch from the washboard laundry. You had a gas-powered washing machine?
Yes.
Now, this would have run on gasoline?
Mm-hmm. Well, a gas motor, and I could never start it. My husband would have to start it for me. And then eventually had an electric motor put on it, and that was really uptown.
Now, describe how that would take place after the motor's purpose was to agitate?
And that was to agitate.
Did it run the ringer portion?
Oh, no.
That was a hand crank for that?
Yeah.
So, was there... I assume you add your own water to that and put your laundry in there.
Uh-huh. And your soap, and agitate it, and then wring it into a galvanized wash tub and rinse it, and then another wash tub and rinse it again, and wring them out and hang them on the line to dry.
Did you have a routine for that? Did you do this on a particular day of the week?
Oh, Monday was always wash day.
Now, I've heard this all over the county so far in my interview. Is there a particular reason that Monday was, or is that something you just grew up with knowing?
That's something I think you just grew up with. Uh-huh. That was the routine.
Did your mother do laundry on Monday?
Oh, yes.
But no particular reason why.
I have no idea.
Your neighbors would have known if you were doing laundry on Wednesday? That's a silly question. We won't even go there. But so you got this washer, then you said you got the electric motor on it next, and was the only difference then was that you could start this washer without having your husband there?
Probably.
Would be the main difference, because it still involved you had to crank or wring your own wash,
and
it wasn't automatic.
No, there was no automatic washers then.
Okay. Tell me about, you said that you used kerosene lamps, and then went to... Coleman type. What was that? Tell me about that.
Well, it was just a gas lamp that you had to pump up, and it had little mantles on that the light would come from. And if you had millers or bugs around, they were always breaking the mantles.
Uh-huh.
They were very fragile.
How about the light itself? Could you read
improvement over the ordinary kerosene lamp. Yeah. How we crocheted or read books. I started to crochet a bedspread when I was in High Valley. And I don't know why a person didn't go blind immediately.
Because it was so dim, the light?
Yeah. And all that work you had to do after you were through with your day's work. So it'd be while you had to have artificial light.
So the Coleman lamp then must have been a godsend.
Oh, it was a big improvement.
Did your children have to walk to school from out there?
Oh, no.
No.
The oldest one, a boy, started to school on the school bus down here while we were in High Valley. But the schools up there had closed before we left. There used to be, a school in North High Valley and a school in South High Valley. When my husband was in, he went to school, his school had closed before he went to grade school or not. I think he lived down here with his aunt and uncle and went to grade school down here.
But there used to be schools up there in High Valley. It used to be like one-room schoolhouse.
One-room schools.
But your children didn't go through that before they... Let's talk about we're back on the farm again, and talking about other gadgets that you would have used out there. So, by having livestock, the livestock that you had out there on the ranch, did that mean you didn't buy meat then, that you processed your own meat?
Oh, yes, yeah.
And how would you do that? Was that a team effort too, like the threshing, or?
I think the fellows went together to butcher hogs. There used to be a place out at Hot Lake that the water was hot enough for they dip the hogs to be able to scrape the hair off of them, if you're familiar with how they butcher hogs.
I did know a little bit about that.
Several of them went together and did that on the same day, and then we would have the meat cured, the hams and bacon at the meat market. But with the beef, we would maybe butcher, my parents and us would butcher one together, and we'd have it. And then a lot of the meat was canned, and some maybe put in the locker.
So the lockers were available to you at that time. You wouldn't have a waste or an unused portion of it.
Right.
And at that time, and you could can the meat.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about canning deer also.
Oh yes.
That was there a regular hunt that took place for winter food?
Oh yeah, in the fall they would have the hunting season, and we would get our deer and what, I don't know whether we had to put meat in the deer meat in the locker or can most of it, I think. We always had plenty to eat.
Now, you talked about having an original canner or steam cooker when I was here. Have you always had that?
I've always cooked with that steam cooker.
Mm-hmm. And are they different today, or is it essentially the same item when you buy them today?
I don't know whether a person can get a steam cooker today. They're all pressure cookers anymore. This was a different type cooker.
Do you know what made it different than the others, or why was it unique?
Well, a lot of people can with what they call a hot water bath, where you would immerse your jars in a big can of water. But this, you had the water in the bottom of your cooker, and it was mine had two places where you could set jars on, and it would hold 12 jars above this water, and you'd have your cooker on your stove, and your food would be cooked by steam from the boiling water in the bottom of the cooker.
So it wasn't pressurized?
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
Did it take longer?
Yes. Yes, it took longer than pressure cooker by far.
Did you prefer yours over the newfangled ones then as they came out? Or just never got over the habit?
Well, I was familiar with the way I did it.
Sure.
And I don't think I even cared about another way.
Didn't matter. So you just stuck with your routine then. We're talking about visiting a doctor in this time period. And you were telling me that you conducted a trade with your first son?
With our son. I'm sure our doctor could use the grain, and we had the grain and not money, and we made it a trade. He accepted grain for payment.
But even in spite of this, the child was delivered in the hospital by then.
Oh, yeah.
Was there a routine about that?
Well, you stayed in the hospital for 9 days, no matter what. He didn't get up.
Even if he felt like it?
And certainly different than nowadays. Get up and go home the next day.
Was it this way for all of your children that you had at that time?
Pretty much Sharon, the second child, he still stayed in the hospital for your 9 or 10 days, and then I had to have cesarean with the last daughter, and then it was stay in the hospital for 16 days.
I see. But you were able to conduct this trade of the grain in place of the bill?
That was for the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Was it difficult to see a doctor living out there on High Valley? You said there was a doctor in town, so you must have been able to see one there from time to time.
In here, but then you didn't see a, or need to see a doctor very often either.
Did that require appointments a long time in advance, or could you basically walk in?
I think it was a walk-in. No, I don't think here in town that we had to have an appointment.
An interesting thing that you were telling me is that in the time that you got married, you had to have a complete physical, is that right?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had to have your physical exam before you could get your marriage license.
Did that include blood testing as well, or some sort of testing? Or was it just a pure physical?
I think it was just a physical exam.
Was this doctor, did you see this doctor? Was he the same doctor you would have seen in town if you got sick? Or was he a special doctor for this person?
No, he was the only doctor in town. He saw for anything.
I see. and then, did you have to present proof of that to get a license from that point?
Oh, I'm sure, yes.
That's what happened then?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. During the time that your children were born, was there a doctor in town for them to see, or would you have had to go all the way to LeGrand?
Well, we saw the doctor in town, and he was to be at the hospital, and I had problems, and he called in another doctor to assist. But
when your children were growing up, Was there a doctor in union then for them to see if necessary, or did...
Part of the time.
So they didn't have a steady doctor always?
Not always, you know.
Now, you were telling me about this, your four-cylinder rig, which we're looking at a, it has a certificate of war necessity in the ration book for a 1941 Ford pickup half ton. Now, you said, you were telling me about a hill that you would drive. Would this be on the way to High Valley?
No, from our place. Going back to the main road through High Valley, I would have to go up this quite a little hill, and if I didn't get a good start at the bottom of it, I would have to shift into lower gear to make it up to the main road. And in the winter time, it was, well, I just didn't enjoy it.
You never got stuck there, I hope.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you did.
Oh, yes.
Now, would that be because you didn't get it into a lower enough gear, or it was too
because
slick?
Because ruts in the road or too slick. Mm-hmm.
And then what would happen?
Well, you'd rock back and forth and hopefully get unstuck. But a lot of times in the winter on the way home, we would have to stop the car and pack a couple of kids over to our place because of the snow and snow drifts and ruts in the road or whatever.
So actually,
that was not an improved road then.
This would have been the road you used to get off of your place to get on the main road to the highway? I see. And so you could still get back to your house, but it wasn't. It was an ordeal.
Right.
It's been an ordeal. You said that you thought that High Valley had its own phone line or phone company. And it's okay if you don't know that much about it, but people were responsible for their own phone line?
They were responsible for their own phone line, yes.
And so you mentioned your father-in-law would take care of his, but did you have to take care of yours as well?
Well, I think he took care of, if there was a pole down or a wire down, I remember watching him climb the poles with his, what do you call them, spike boots.
Right.
And they had their own, they put in their own telephone line, I'm sure. But what year, I don't know.
Oh, that's fine. So did you, that means that your phone would have been in that High Valley operation then, too.
Mm-hmm.